Several years ago in 1967, there was a very popular movie came out. It was a star-studded cast with Spencer Tracy in it, Sidney Poitier. It was in it, Katharine Hepburn, and her niece, Katharine Houghton, was also in it. And it was a very interesting thing. Now, you have to understand, the year is 1967. And in 1967, this was a big deal. It was a distinguished upper-class white family whose young daughter had fallen in love with a young black man, distinguished intellectual young black man played by Sidney Poitier. And to the family's surprise, they had a dinner guest coming, but they did not know that the dinner guest was going to be black. You can imagine when they open up the door and here comes this handsome, striking, young, virile black man walking in the door, that the tension in the room was measurable. You could feel it. There was this feeling of discomfort and an attempt at polite conversation, but the reality, the society and sociology of the time did not allow itself for it to be a comfortable situation because, quite frankly, the parents were shocked. Now, this dramedy, it's a drama slash comedy, this dramedy was designed so that we might have a humorous look at ourselves, and often art imitates life so that we can learn from the art better how to live in human life. The tension around the table I wanted to use as an example so that you could feel that when Jesus is in fact invited into this table, this supper, to have dinner with the Pharisees. There's no question that he's not invited, but everybody who invites you is not glad that you came. I'm gonna say that again. Everybody who invites you is not glad that you came. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but even as a preacher, I have noticed down through the years, I've had people invite me to preach and hope I fail. I've had people invite me in and didn't really want me there. And you know how it is. If you are a sensitive, spiritual, discerning person, you can tell when you're not welcome. You don't have to be invited to preach to recognize that there's an atmosphere, almost a stench in the room that says we don't want you here. Such is the case with Jesus. He has been invited into the influential house of the upper echelon of the Pharisees. This particular Pharisee is not just an average Pharisee, but he is a very erudite, charismatic leader of the pharmaceutical movement, and he has invited Jesus to supper. And they're sitting around the table, and the Bible takes the time to note that he was carefully being watched. That you when you're not looking, people are looking at you. You look up, they look away. You know that kind of thing they do, you know. And Jesus is there, but the atmosphere is not right. And you must understand why it is not right. The Pharisees have said a lot of hideous things about Jesus. They have fought him tooth and nail. They were intimidated by him. They did not accept him. They wanted to reject him. They wanted to ostracize him. And still they invited him to dinner. I wish I had somebody out there who's been invited to something that they weren't welcome. If you've ever been invited to something that you're not welcome at, you understand the internal feeling. You're sitting there, but you're not comfortable. You got your fork and your knife, and you're trying to say something pleasant, but you're not comfortable in the atmosphere. I want you to feel the discomfort of Jesus sitting around the table being watched by the people that invited him. Almost like being in a department store and having somebody watching you as you go up and down the aisle. And they say, may I help you? But you know, they're not really asking you, do you need any help? They're watching you. They're watching Jesus. Now, the writer here is Luke. Make no mistake about it that he has his own flair and his own way of delivering truth. And Luke often delivers us profound and prolific concepts in the atmosphere of food. It is strange, but it is true. Over and over again, he uses the backdrop of food to have a bigger discussion. What do you mean, Bishop? Well, I'll give you an example. In Luke 7:34, Jesus' critics had referred to him as a glutton and a wine bibber. Luke is the one who points that out to us. And when Jesus came to supper and he sat down to eat, they called him a glutton and a drunkard, a wine bibber, as it were, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. They're insulting him over the way he eats. Maybe he had a healthy appetite. Maybe he drank at the table. They used anything they could to demean him. And Luke uses the food to introduce the conversation about the attitude behind the food. So don't let the food distract you from the attitude. It is the attitude behind the food that Luke uses. So the food is the canvas that Luke likes to paint on. He does it over and over again. In Luke 7:36 and 11:37, he also talks about Jesus eating with the Pharisees. But this one was an extremely influential Pharisee. So it is not the first time that Jesus has eaten with the Pharisees, but it is a very unique time because this is an influential Pharisee, and it matters who's in the room. You know that song that came out of Hamilton, "In the Room Where It Happens." They're in the room where it happens. And Jesus is in the room where it happens. And they're all gathered in the room where it happens. Luke also talks to us about how Jesus performed a miracle for a hungry crowd with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and fed thousands of them. Luke is always taking us back to the table. It's at the table. It's at the table. It's at the table. It all happens at the table. It all happens at the table. He reminds us over and over again that in Luke 22, verse 14 through 20, that Jesus sits down with a plain meal of bread and wine and turns it into a Eucharist. And there Jesus presents the bread and the wine in the light of a new theological understanding of who he is and what his body represents. And he did it at the table. He did it at the table. Look at somebody in your house and say, "At the table." It happens at the table, at the table, at the table, at the table, at the table. Luke reminds us also in Luke 24 that when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus, that he walked down the road discussing scriptures, but he didn't reveal himself to the disciples on the road to Emmaus until he was at the table. When he got to the table, the Bible said they saw him in the order of the breaking of the bread. It was at the table. It was at the table. God does some of his best work at the table. No wonder the psalmist said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head, my cup runneth over." But he did it at the table. It all happens at the table. Peter was criticized in the book of Acts because they criticized him for sitting at the table with uncircumcised people. Tension at the table. Tension at the table. It is interesting to note that Luke, who writes the Gospel of St. Luke, is also the author of the book of Acts. And over again, he brings us to the table. He tells us that the early church continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread and fellowship, going from house to house. Luke keeps taking us back to the table, to the table, to the table. And once again, we are at the table. At the table. Now, for an Orthodox Jew to eat at the table is more than the consumption of food. It is a sign of fellowship. They did not eat with Gentiles. They did not eat with heathens. They did not eat with Samaritans. If a Gentile was to eat at the table, they would break the plate. It was considered that unclean, that filthy. Eating was a sign of covenant and close relationship. It could take hours to consume a meal because it was a big deal to sit at the table. The fellowship and the covenant of the relationship between you at the table is probably more important than the food itself. The food takes a backdrop. It all occurs at the table. It all occurs at the table. The revelation of who Jesus is happens at the table. The two fish and five loaves of bread happen at the table. The dealing with the Pharisees happens at the table. Over and over again, God calls us to the table. Even in Revelation, he says, come and sup with me, and I will sup with you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And it all happens at the table. While they are sitting at the table, Jesus is a guest in the Pharisee's house. And he looks over and sees a man who is sick of palsy. When he sees this man sick at the table, Jesus wants to minister to him. Oh, it would be a good thing to be at the table with Jesus. I'd rather be at the table with Jesus sick than be well and be outside the room. Because if I can get close to him, if I can get near the table, perhaps he will look on me. Now, they're staring at Jesus, but Jesus is staring at the man that is sick of palsy. He understands his need. That's why I want to be close to him. That's why we have worship service, because worship brings us to the table. Worship brings us into the presence of the Lord. Worship brings us into the realm of possibility. Worship brings us into the atmosphere where anything can happen. Cripple or not, he was at the table. Lame or not, he was at the table. Afflicted or not, he was at the table. Depressed or not, he was at the table. Discouraged or not, he was at the table. Somebody this morning needs to get to the table. Stop making excuses for your condition. Surely the man with dropsy could have stayed at home and said, I'm not going because I'm sick. Dropsy was a condition that caused the swelling of the joints and the limbs in an odd kind of way, in an extraordinary sort of way, where his joints were so big that they were visibly seen as swollen. So it hurt, but he was at the table. He was in discomfort, but he came to the table. Sometimes you gotta press your way to the table. It is not always comfortable to get to the table. You gotta press your way to the table where you see the benefit of being at the table more than you see the benefit of staying comfortable. Oh, I'm concerned about a comfortable church. We've got a comfortable church that if it doesn't feel right, we don't do it. If it's not convenient, we don't go. If the parking's not nice, we won't go. But oh, God is looking for somebody who wants him bad enough to be uncomfortable. It must have taken the man with dropsy twice as long to get to the table as it did other people, seeing as his joints and limbs were so swollen. But he knew that if he could get close to Jesus, if he could just get close to Jesus, if he could just get in proximity to Jesus, perhaps he would look on me. Perhaps he would look on my situation. Perhaps he would heal my daughter. Perhaps he would touch my son. Perhaps he would heal my father. Perhaps, but it can't happen if he don't see me. I gotta be there. Half the battle is showing up for the fight.